Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. For those of you out there on Facebook and YouTube, God bless you, and we're glad that you're here. And I'm going to say this. If you had anybody that you know that was on Periscope, I just found out today from our tech team that because we don't have a Twitter account, because Twitter bought out Periscope, we had to stop putting it out on Periscope. So if you know somebody that was out there that was using Periscope, let them know we're still here. We just had to sign off on that because we don't have a Twitter account. But hey, welcome to the world we live in. Cancel culture, why not? So, you know, the more they tie things together, the more they get to control. And today we're going to be speaking about the one who's truly in control, and that is our Lord God, amen? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today's sermon title, as you've seen in the bulletin, and for those of you who are out there on the interweb, it's called, From Whence Cometh My Help? Now, this sermon is going to be a little bit different than any of the sermons I've done in a long time. This was brought to me by the Lord Himself, and it just blew my mind. Because I have been praying, you know, Lord, here's what I'm doing now. This is what but where am I going next? And this is one of the things, you know, pastors, if you're truly walking in the Lord, I ask Him what He wants. Don't you think that would be smart? You know, I think that's pretty smart. And He just kept bringing that verse to me. From whence cometh my help? From whence cometh my help? And finally, I think I got it and said, okay, Lord, I'm going to preach on that psalm. Because I use it at almost every graduation service that I do. Because it is a psalm that gives us hope. Okay? So I thought, okay, let's get into this. Let's do some study. And oh my gracious, you know, just where God took me in this is just amazing. Because I want us to understand this psalm. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 121. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 121. Now, and if you have a bookmark, please put it there, because I'm going to tell you all right now, we are going to be looking at one verse at a time, because there's just so much here. It is really power-packed. So we are going to look at one verse at a time. And, well, a couple of them, it's going to be two verses, because they say things that have to go together. But we're going to tear this thing apart. It's eight verses. It's eight verses, okay? And you know, Pastor, I could preach a half-hour sermon on one word, right? And so for me to preach on eight verses, man, I really have to pare this thing down. So as we look at this, one of the first things that we see here at the very top, it's called a song of ascents. Okay, what does that mean? This is a psalm that was read by or sung by the Israelites as they went up to Jerusalem. It's a song of ascent. That as they went up to Jerusalem, they would be singing this psalm along with several others that are also psalms of ascent. Okay, because no matter where you came from in Israel, you had to go uphill to get there. No matter where you come from in Israel, to get to Jerusalem, you have to go uphill. That's why it's called the Song of Ascent, because you are coming up to Jerusalem. Doesn't matter where you come from, you're going up to Jerusalem. One of the things I want us to also remember is, in this day and time, Israel was a lot of farmland around Jerusalem, and not as much as it is today, but a lot of farmland around Jerusalem. And then outside of that, it was very arid. Please remember, Jerusalem is in the middle of the arid section of Israel, and that means it's what? Desert. Okay? It is desert. And it is deserted. So in this Song of Ascents, we're going to see some things that you know, reflect to us the heart and mind of Israel and what's going on. But I want us to understand God's Word is live and active. Amen? It's as alive today as it was then. And this psalm has something to speak to us as well, because it has a very real physical and spiritual meaning. We're going to look at all of that, and we're going to put it together. Let us begin with the word of our Lord from verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, I want us to understand that during this time, you know, as these people are going up, as I said, they're going up. From wherever they're going up. So the psalmist here says, I will lift up mine eyes to the mountains, okay? In other words, Jerusalem is on a hill. It's on a mountain in Israel. Now, when we look at a mountain, you know, here from Pennsylvania, you know, we're talking 25, 27. You know, I think the highest mountains here in Pennsylvania might be 2,800 feet, something like that. I don't know if they get much over 3,000 feet in Pennsylvania. But if we would go to the Rocky Mountains, how high are the mountains there? We're talking 15 to 20,000 feet in height for some of them, okay? So we're talking about an elevated look, where we are looking up. But I want us to remember, because it says, I look to the mountains. So when they were coming to Jerusalem, they would see Jerusalem in an offshoot out here in front of them as they were coming through the Jordan wilderness and coming through the arid areas. And as they're coming into Jerusalem, it would be on the horizon. They could see it. But what they knew was on that mountain, God had put his name. It was where God was going to meet his people. Were they looking to the mountain, or were they looking to the one who was over the mountain? They were looking to the one who was over the mountain. They were looking to the one who was the maker of heaven and earth. They're not looking to the mountain, okay? They are not looking to earthly things. They are looking to the one who is above those earthly things. That's why I wanted us to contrast the mountains here in Pennsylvania with the mountains out in Montana and Idaho and Alaska. Some of those mountains are even higher. So I want you to think that you know, when we talk about God, he is above all things, but yet he is the maker of it all. So we are to understand that as we see these people going and as we see our world as it is, may we remember who we're talking about. The second thing I want to point out here about these first two verses, this psalm was put together during the time of Nehemiah. What was happening during the time of Nehemiah? They were rebuilding Jerusalem, and then they set about rebuilding the temple after that. Please understand this, okay? This is during the rebuilding of the temple. Jerusalem has been rebuilt, but now they need to rebuild the temple. So here we are, and these people, they're coming from long distances to rebuild this temple. And please remember, what was going on with the Samaritans? The Samaritans were spreading rumors that they were going to attack them because, you know, all they're trying to establish their government again and you know, all this stuff. So all of a sudden, we see that this is a time of turmoil. This is a time where Israel is trying to gain back its dependence upon God. And there was all kinds of opposition to them. And they needed to remember who they worshiped. They needed to remember who their helper was, who their helper is. Folks, we live in a postmodern world. Okay? What does that mean? We do not live in Christian America anymore. I know a lot of you right now may want to disagree with me on that. But I'm a Christian. Aren't you a Christian? Yeah. We just heard from our Gideons about some of the things that they ran into. We know that in our world, how much of our own government right now is oppressing Christian people? Right now, you know, there are folks out there trying to get a religious exemption for something that's going on out there. But our government is saying, no, no, it's not our government. It's the bureaucrats who aren't elected, but it is those who are elected that are pushing this agenda. We need to understand we are at a war. Just as this time of the people's lives was at a war. They were rebuilding the temple. We are rebuilding the temple. Where is the temple of God? Is it in Israel? No. Where is the temple of God? Yeah, Brother Chuck got it. Right here. Right here. And we are, as Mitch and Bob were, to share the word of God. By thereby rebuilding that temple. How many of you have seen what's on the altar today, right in the middle of the Bible? A life has been saved. This is amazing because right over there are the people that God used to help make it happen. It's their daughter's boyfriend. Now, let me ask you a question. If you were a dad and a mom, and your daughter was dating a young man, and I know, Ben, you might be watching this. I don't mean to embarrass you. I'm not Amber. I don't mean to embarrass you. We love you. But this is the truth. How do you think Stephen Leslie's hearts are right now, knowing that this young man who's courting their little girl found the Lord Jesus Christ? Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Isn't this what it's all about? We are to share what we have to help rebuild the temple. And the temple is not a physical plant. The temple is our lives, our immortal souls. Understand that. This body's going to die. It has nothing to do with a physical body. It has everything to do with the spiritual being that I am, that you are, that each and every individual is. And we are going to be attacked. But we need to remember our hope is not in the things of this world, not on the mountains, but on the one who made the mountains. Can I get an amen? When you and I understand where we are, because God is rebuilding the hearts of men, and we need to understand that the means by which he has to do so is an inexhaustible means of help for his people. There is nothing that God cannot do. Turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah. Let your little bookmark there where we were. And turn back just a couple chapters to Jeremiah. We're going to be in chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20. I'm looking at verse 11, just verse 11. Verse 11. Because I want us to remember who this God is. He is the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And he says to us from Jeremiah 20 and 11, but the Lord is with me like a dread champion. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will be utterly ashamed because they have failed with an everlasting disgrace that will not be forgotten. I want you to think about what that means to you and I here today. We are to be men and women of grace. Can I get an amen on that? We are to be men and women of grace because we have received much grace. But we need to remember that there are many out there who are going to attack us, many out there who are going to come against us, and they are not gods, okay? They do not belong to Yahweh. They do not belong to Jesus Christ. They do not belong to the Holy Spirit or triune God, three in one. They belong to someone else, and they are serving his purposes here on this earth to bring about this end time stuff. And we see it. It's all backing up. As I told you several weeks ago, there is a point in history where sin will not enter in anymore. And that is creating a dam. And all sin is coming up, hitting that dam, and it's backing up just like a reservoir. And as we see the water getting deeper and deeper and deeper, thus the saying that God has said, until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. We're filling the lake right now, folks. And once it reaches its bounds, that's when God will bring judgment. That's when he'll take the church away. But until that day, we are going to fight against powers and principalities. And it may seem like they have so much power and so much happening. How can we fight them? Oh, my goodness. I spoke with the guys back here a little bit ago, and I want you to think about this. One of our founding fathers told us as Christians, as Americans, any person who is willing to give up freedom for comfort deserves neither. I want you to think about that because I want you to think about your salvation. You know, this is men talking about physical things. What does God say to us? What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? And this is where we have to look. When I look to where we are, I lift up mine eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And in that we trust, because in that we know. All we have to look at is the miracles of Jesus Christ. What did he do for us? How many of you have experienced a miracle of Jesus Christ in your own life? In your own life. And yet, how many of us, because of a dollar, are willing to throw everything away? All the freedoms that Christ has given us. Remember, that's what this nation was founded on. It's why this shirt's being worn today. I want you all to remember something. Our founding fathers understood when they gave us the Bill of Rights, they were already simply saying these are the things that we need to protect because God has given them to us, not man. God has given them to us. And that's where we have to stand. Wow, Pastor, that's just two verses. Yep, two verses, and I'm halfway with my sermon. Do you think I'll get this thing done before this time is over? Ruth Ann's saying no. I have a feeling she might be right. But today, we're going to go as far as we can on this because this is that important. Psalm 121 was written over 2,000 years ago. Is it still alive today? Yes. Yes. My help comes from the Lord. From verse number 3, 4, and 5. And if I'm lucky, I will get halfway done this. From verse 3, 4, and 5. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. Now, I want you to look at those three verses. There's something very similar about those three verses. Can anybody tell me what it might be? Remember what I taught you years ago, that if God says something once, it's important. If he says it twice, it's very important. But if he says it three times, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, just how important is it? Extremely important. You need to understand what he's speaking to you here. And three times here, he is called our keeper. Our keeper. Our keeper. There is no one, there is nothing that can tear us away from God. He is our keeper. He holds us fast. He holds us firm. He is the rock of our salvation. Can I get an amen? You brothers and sisters know this truth. We know this reality. He is our keeper, and he is letting us know that he is there. Now, I want to ask you a question. How many of you have ever gone through some hardships and you thought to yourself, where's God in all of this? Yeah, I'm not ashamed to admit that, okay? I've been through some pretty tough stuff. My wife and I, you all know, we've lost five babies. A car accident that cost me a broken leg and a broken hip. Helping somebody out and broke my toes. The list goes on. That's just trivial stuff. Blood clots in both legs, 14 pulmonary emboli, 5 heart attacks in 2 minutes. Boy, I'm telling you, I could add this stuff up and y'all would think, oh my goodness, Pastor. Wow, it's no wonder you got white hair. Yep. Because I'll guarantee you the Lord has put me through some stuff and the fire is wonderful. Because when Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were in the furnace, who did they meet? The angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate. And I'll guarantee you, when God's turning up the heat, it's only because God is there that you're going to get through. Can I get an amen? He is our keeper. Folks, this world is going to hurt you. It's going to hurt me. God warned Adam at the beginning. He said, don't eat from that tree. Because as soon as you do, you will surely die. Do you think Adam and Eve really understood what was going on there? The extent of that? I can guarantee you they didn't. And one of these days, I'm going to go back and do a teaching on that, because that is a teaching that will blow your mind, okay? Because there's a depth there. When God said, don't eat of the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, okay? There was something far bigger there. Everybody thinks that it was the tree that caused it, right? It was the tree. No, it wasn't the tree. It was the serpent. You see, God already knew the serpent was going to get them to eat. Please remember, had nothing to do with the tree, all right? Because all the tree did was make you smart. But here's the reality. Can we handle smart? Some of us think we can. But as a society, how's that doing for us? Right now, if we look at the powers that be and where they're leading us worldwide, this is the first time we have had a worldwide attempt at governance. You do understand that's where things are going here, right? That's where our world is headed. That's what the powers that be want. Because they want to strip you and I of all our individualism. They want to strip you and I of our freedom and make us simply chattel. God understood that. He said, I am your keeper. He didn't say, I'm the world's keeper. Individual. Where does worth come from? From men who wish to appropriate it one to another and extract it from everybody else? Or from God, who looks upon each and every man, woman, and child? The cross of Calvary must be accepted by each and every individual. For when Christ spread wide his arms and died on that cross, he died individually for each and every one of us. His blood, his eternal blood, is sufficient for all who would believe. It's actually sufficient for all, but it only applies to those who believe. He is our keeper. I mean, how many scriptures could I go to here if I truly wanted to? I think about what's going on here. He tells us so readily that he is here and he is going to love us. Secondly, He says, I will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He will not allow your foot to slip. Now, I want you to think about this because, you know, again, we've got to think back historically what's going on because this is a psalm of ascents. These people were walking through the Jordanian wilderness. We're talking narrow paths through an area. The roads back then, and I think it's funny because when we think about roads, we think about the roads that we have, right? How many of you all can remember when we were kids, all right? How many dirt roads were there when we were kids? You know, I got Miss Dottie sitting over here. She's from Halifax. You know, my parents used to tell me, we'd say, hey, where are we going today? Well, we're going to Halifax. Well, to us, it was a fictitious place. It didn't exist. And I found out that there's a woman sitting over here that, hey, she's from Halifax. Yeah, now I know. But it's so amazing because, you know, let's think about what the roads were like when we were younger, okay? I'm from Glen Rock. Y'all amaze me. If there's not 6 foot between two cars, people won't move. I drive through Lebanon, and I'm coming down 12th Street, all right? Coming down 12th Street, and that's, you know, fairly narrow road going down 12th Street. I'm zipping down through there passing tractor trailers, and it's funny because these people coming, if they're in front of me, they're pulling over as close to the car that they can get to and stopping so the tractor trailer can come up 12th Street. I'm like, what's wrong with you? I can remember when I got my driver's license. Went to the police barracks in York, okay, where they did the testing. Actually, it was a testing facility. And the police officer comes up to the car and he says, pull up here. And I said, no, sir, can't do that. He looks at me, he says, I'm telling you, boy. He said, you better pull up here. I said, no, sir, I can't do that. And he just looked at me and smiled. He said, why not? I said, because you're not sitting beside me in the car. I'm not allowed to drive this vehicle by myself. Yeah. So he gets in the car and he sits down beside me and he says to me, first question he asked me, where are you from? I said, I'm from Glen Rock. He said, oh, this ought to be easy. And I just looked at him. He said, there aren't any dents in this car, so I know if you can drive through Glen Rock, we're going to be fine. In Glen Rock, we have roads that are so narrow that if two pickup trucks try to go down them, they will smack mirrors. I drove around home with my mirror pulled in on the driver's side so as to make sure I didn't crash because I did it more than once. And got tired of paying for mirrors. Narrow roads mean what? Hazardous times. Because when you are walking in the Jordanian wilderness, and this is something I loved being over in Israel when I went over to Israel. In the Jordanian wilderness, there's all kinds of mountains and crags, and you know, it's desert, all right? It's not just flat sand. It is an arid desert. It's an elevated desert. And it's so amazing because when you think about what that means, there are times when you are traveling and you're walking along the edge of a mountain where the mountain's coming down and there's this little footpath and you can see these places and these people travel them with their sheep and their goats, a footpath that's 3 feet wide, and then there's a sheer drop-off on the other side. If you're not careful, what's going to happen? You're going to slip and you're going to fall. And if you're out there in the middle of the wilderness, hey, remember, this is not 2021 when this is written. How much danger would there be if you fall down that mountain? I don't know anybody's going to come through very soon and come down and get you. He's talking about the treacherous journey and how hard it is. That God, if you're willing to make this journey with him, how many of you are on a journey with God right now through this life? Each and every one of us. And we are headed towards God. Hence, I'll fly away. Man, can you see how God picks this stuff out? You and I are getting ready for it. We are getting ready to go home. We are on a journey to get us there. And there are going to be a lot of treacherous things between now and then. Are we willing to trust God, who is our keeper? He is our keeper. He's not our, I don't know what, because a keeper says to me, not letting go, right? Not letting go. When I was in the machine shop, we used to put keeper screws into bushings. What's a keeper screw for? It keeps the bushing where it's supposed to be. It won't move. Okay, unless something severely wrong happens, it is not going to move. And I want you to think about that, because that's speaking of our God. He is immovable. When God sets himself, that's why we worship the rock of our foundation. He is our anchor in the storm. Amen? And when we think about what this is talking about, and the fact that you know, we're going to have hardships, there are going to be things that are going to happen around us. We're going to see physical and spiritual things. We're going to fail at many attempts. How many of you have never been there? We're going to get bruises on our shoulder and our hip. Amen, Root? But we're going to get back up. And we're going to go again. Unto the day he calls us home or receives us all to himself in the rapture. But we've got to make this journey with him. We are on a pilgrimage. We are on our ascent to the Holy of Holies, which is with our Lord and Savior. And I'm telling you what, that's higher than any mountain I know of. And when you and I can understand that and start to walk in that truth and in that reality, we begin to see just what is going on, and we can understand the protection that God brings to us. You and I need to understand that he says that he that keepeth thee will not slumber. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Folks, we are looking at the one who is our provider, protector. He is our shelter and our provision. The right hand here speaks of what? It speaks of the power of God. Not our power, but the power of God. Remember, the right hand is what the soldiers would use to wield their sword, because most people are right-handed. It is the hand of power. Who's at our right hand? God. We're not talking about our power. We're talking about his power and what he has for us. Well, I hope you've enjoyed your first half of Psalm 121, because we're done. I have 2 minutes left, and I'm not going on because I have enough left here. This is funny. You've got to see this. This is my sermon, folks. You know, I normally don't do this. Page one, page two, page three. You see, I am having so much fun with this. And page four. We just started page three. And there's a whole bunch more on there. I need you to understand, if we get into God's Word, knowing what's out there, there is so much stuff coming at us right now. We are living in one of the most amazing and wonderful times of human history. The prophecies that have been foretold, that have been our hope for years and years and years, are coming true. They are mounting up. And Christ is getting ready. We better be ready. We need to remember this is our time to shine, not to sit back and do nothing, because there are going to be thousands who are going to take a scripture and tear it up because they don't know. We are alive at this time of the world to be the light of Jesus Christ. And just like the Bill of Rights is not the bill of feelings, so too the Word of God is not about what you feel, but who He is. And I'll guarantee you the two, when you are outside of Christ, never meet. But in Christ, through hope and perseverance and prayer, this happens. Y'all were here last week. We didn't have enough flowers. I had 27 back here. I brought them all out because at 30 I had to stop counting. What's it take? It takes the love of people, and sometimes it takes one dying. And we all know that because one did die. That we may know the hope of salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. This is your day. This is my day. From whence does my help come? Pray with me. Father God, as we end this day, we just want to give you thanks, for you are our keeper. You are our help. And we know that in truth and in totality. But Lord, we need to be reminded from time to time, because this world comes at us so hard and we do get discouraged. And Lord, sometimes we get angry. So we ask, Father, that you would forgive our hearts and that you would move in and through us to help us see that we are living in one of the most amazing times of human history, where we will finally see, and I truly believe this, Lord, I believe we will finally see the culmination of all things unto the rapture of the church. So, Lord, unto that day, we have a work to do, because there are many who need to be saved. And, Lord, we just pray for all of those who are listening right now, that if there's anyone out there who wants to know where their help comes from, that, Lord God, they would simply say this sweet little prayer, because in it they're speaking their belief. Lord God, come into my life. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for me, shed his blood for me to give me eternal life. He paid my price, your Son. And now, through the power of your Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, God three in one, bless those who have prayed this prayer for forgiveness and for acceptance into the kingdom, as they say, thy will be done on earth and in me as it is in heaven. In your holy name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.